Talk to me.
Welcome to On the Home Stretch with your host, Debbie Allen.
Hi there, I am Debbie Allen. We are doing a show called On the Home Stretch. It's about living the second half of your life better than the first. And today the doctor's in, and it's the sex doctor. And some of us, I'm not going to say any names, but we need some help in that area of our lives. So we've got this licensed clinical psychologist. He's a certified sex therapist in private practice in Nashville since 1980. He has a wide range of experience with issues that people are struggling with. And you see so many commercials these days on sexual dysfunction, and you see them for Viagra and Cialis and Levitra and all these things. So are people having more problems with that, or just have the drug companies figured out a great way to make a lot of money? And let's see, Dr. David Yerian is on the phone. And earlier, David, I said I was really excited to have you. And then I realized they're probably not the right terms to use with a sex doctor.
No, excitement is good.
Oh, you're funny. Well, yeah. I'm really glad to have you because there are, you know, we can laugh about things. And I like that you have a lighthearted approach. But there are so many, I mean, millions of marriages, and we're struggling with low or no sex marriages. And that's just not, I mean, that's not the kind of intimacy. We want emotional intimacy. We want spiritual intimacy. We want physical intimacy, too. So how do you help us get there?
Well, that is the single most common reason people go to see a sex therapist, is that they are not having the amount of desire that they would like to have, or their partner is not. And so there is what's called desire discrepancy, which means one person has more desire than the other person. And so it's challenging, it's painful, there's a lot of suffering, there's a lot of disappointment, and people don't know what to do. And sometimes they try in ways that aren't working very well to make things better. They try to argue, or they try to cajole their partner into being more active with them sexually, and or they try to make them feel guilty, or... But many people have a very difficult time talking about sexuality. That's just one thing in our culture that is a big challenge. And
isn't that weird, Dr. Yerian? Because, I mean, sex is in our, it's sex cells, it's in our face, it's on, we're like bombarded with all these sexual images, and yet we can't talk about that at the,
yeah, we
at
live
the deepest
in a society,
soul level.
Yeah, we live in a society that is sexually obsessed, and at the same time sexually repressed. So maybe this is a holdover from the Puritans. I'm not sure exactly how we got this way.
I don't think we can blame it on the Puritans. So many years have gone by, and it is so weird.
Yeah, but it's interesting that we can have a conversation with our spouse about, what do you want to do this weekend? Where would you like to eat? What do you think about this item of clothing, et cetera? But we can't say, what would you like to do in the bedroom tonight?
Well, yeah, all those other things are real safe and real easy to go there, sure.
Yeah, but it's but why? You know, because sex is a natural part of human life, and yet it's shrouded in mystery. A lot of people feel badly about themselves sexually, and there's a lot of ignorance. So it's challenging. One of the things I do a great deal of is help people learn how to talk with their partner about sexuality. And it has to be a two-way street, to learn how to say what you want, what you need, what you like, to be gentle, to be supportive, to be understanding, to be loving. It never works to put pressure on your partner, to use guilt or shame or other kinds of manipulation. But it is possible to learn how to talk together with the person you love and know the best in the world.
Well, I imagine you've got two different kinds of marriages. I imagine you've got some that are just riddled with resentment and bitterness and probably almost hatred, if they're living in, you know, kind of a low or no sex marriage. And then you probably have this other group that they probably like each other real well and very compatible, very friendly, but just having a platonic relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I think both those things are true. And often people say to me, you know, we have a great marriage in every area except this. Help us. What's going on? You know, and they're, of course, highly motivated and want to make things better. And I think it's easier these days for people to acknowledge that they're struggling in the sexual arena or that they would like their sexual relationship to be better. It's a little easier for people to reach out and ask for help than it used to be, which I think is a great thing. You know, there is more openness these days. It's more possible to talk about it.
Well, tell me about the relationships that everything's good except for the sex. Like, what are you finding with the couples that you interview? What are you finding are the reasons for that?
Well, every couple is different. So there's not just one thing. You know, sometimes it's shyness. Sometimes it's lack of confidence. Sometimes it's that their sexual relationship got interrupted because of illness or stresses of other kinds, and they couldn't quite find their way back. A lot of times, people's timing is off. One person is interested and the other person is tired. That person is interested and the other person is gone at work or whatever. So one of the myths about sexuality in our culture is that both people need to be highly aroused and eager for sex to take place. And the stars have to line up, you know, like they did when you first were dating or first were married in the early days, the golden era of your relationship. But in a long-term marriage with kids and mortgages and jobs and all that goes on, it's less and less likely that the stars are going to line up in that way.
And is it so, like, Doc, is it like in the 12-step stuff that if one person changes a dynamic in a relationship, that can change the whole relationship? Or do you need both to be on board with this topic?
Well, I think both things are true. Yes, one person can make a change. One person can begin the shift to a new level, to a new kind of relationship. It's better and faster if both people are interested and eager to do that.